You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Attention, Browns backers. Check out the completely redesigned Browns backers portal and take your experience as a Browns fan to a whole new level with exclusive access, giveaways, and more. Register now for free at fans.clevelandbrowns.com. That's fans.clevelandbrowns.com. As the music indicates, we are about to take it to another level with a regular member of our forecast segment. He is the kid. I got to meet him in person just the other night when we broke bread over Nathan Zagura's house. And by the way, Nathan and Alyssa, two about the best hosts you could ever have for dinner and just good times. We got to relax a little bit, got to hang out with your kids.
That's right.
They're awesome. You got and your little dog there who's recovering.
Lumps
had a little issue with the
second ACL surgery.
I feel it was breaking my heart, but she was such a good little puppy. And anyway, beautiful home, beautiful time, and got to meet. I'm not going to reveal his real name, but we just know him as the kid.
The kid,
the kid, and Mrs. the kid,
and Mrs. the both. Yes,
my great, better half. Yeah.
Very nice couple, and great to have you with us in studio, my friend. How you doing?
I'm doing well, and I'd like to introduce a new segment based on our meeting the other night. I really would like to hear stories with Uncle Victor, because you really have some fantastic stories. Even my wife, who could care less about football, really was intrigued.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I came away saying, was she really intrigued? Because she was incredibly polite and asked follow-up questions to all what I thought might be boring blather. She was
boring.
Really engaged with it, and I thought she was being polite. But you're saying she actually
no, because she doesn't really care about sports.
Exactly, that's what.
But the area of sports you were talking about was more personal interest and the human
behind
side
the
of
scenes.
It.
All right, yeah.
I mean,
she was convincing to me that she really was into what we were all talking about as a group. I just
this
had
is
a blast.
The kid is a genuine article.
She is.
She's not gonna like. Yeah, she's not gonna.
I'm telling you, you guys are blessed men. You got.
She was very impressed that
very
you had
nice,
several
beautiful
bestsellers,
wife.
Which. You know, I think you need to mention a little more on the air.
And unfortunately, I didn't have my wife part of this thing, too, because she probably would have told me to shut up about an hour earlier, but it was nice.
Well, then, no.
That's coming up when
we'll have to tell her. By the way, I have a rule in my house so that if Rhonda were to try to come in and do that, no husband will be besmirched under my roof.
Oh, all right.
That is a rule. Is that not a rule of mine?
That is true.
She's a team player.
I have gotten in the middle. I've thrust myself into some domestic disputes, and I say, you have to wait until you're back home.
Good luck.
The man will not be besmirched in my house.
My money's
that's
on
a rule.
My money's on Rhonda, but that's okay. all right, we want to play this Friday forecast thing that we brought kid in here.
But no, I do like ahead. The story time with Uncle Victor. I feel like it should be a regular part of this. I think especially in the off season, because you can tell tales that are you spin a great yarn.
Well, I appreciate that. It's been a fun and blessed career, so we got to share some stories with that. And it's just we keep adding chapters with the three of us.
That's
here,
right.
Too.
That's right.
All right, Friday forecast, Jason Gibbs,
our
producer. Hey, Jason.
Number one.
Jason just went to the thing.
Happy Friday, guys.
What up, Gibbs?
Hey, Gibbs, you're the producer. What are you thinking about this new segment these guys are pitching?
I'm in.
Story time with Uncle Victor.
I'm all in. Where was my invite on Tuesday?
Gibbs.
No love. I got no love.
Gibbs, we got a lot of love for you. We'll have to get the whole band together, Gibbs.
Uh-huh. That's right. We were together last
There's
night.
Plenty
we were.
Of pasta and andouille sausage and chicken, whatever that was
the
awesome.
The sausage.
It was
a little vodka sauce. Yeah.
Vodka sauce to go around. Yes.
Very nice.
All right.
Question number one today on this special edition of Friday Forecast. Give me one player whose stock is up going into this game and one player who needs to step up going into game number three.
Well, I think the stock up has got to be Gilbert. He played fantastic the other night for his first game action. And I really like what we're going to see with two shutdown corners and with Pettine really unleashing his blitzes. I was a little frustrated watching the game, as most fans were, but upon reviewing it, the defense really, really is getting me excited. Who needs to step up? I have to say any wide receiver. The wide receivers were abysmal, and I'd like to see Miles Austin or Johnson, somebody at that position group has to step up.
I'm going to go with Armonte Bryant on my player whose stock is going up.
Hashtag RJ, stolen.
I'm sorry. I like what was not to like. The guy was incredible, and he continues to show, I think, with every practice, every game, the needle just rising with him. And as far as, who needs to step up, I'm going to just say the whole offense. You pinned it on the receivers, and I agree with that, but I think it's everybody as a group. It's. I saw Jordan Cameron. I know it was his first outing, and I'll give him rust points or whatever, give him some credit for not being a guy who was out there before. A rust pass. He gets a rust pass. But everybody needs to look a lot better offensively.
All right, for me, the one player whose stock is up since you stole Armani, Brian, for me, I'm going to go with Ben Tate. I thought Ben Tate against Washington ran like a man possessed. We know that at times he has a surly disposition. I enjoy seeing that surly disposition unleashed on opponents, and I thought he did that. I thought he finished runs well. He accelerated through the hole, would not go down at first contact. I thought Ben Tate looked good, and I'm eager to see him run against this front of the St. Louis Rams. I think that'll be a big test for both Ben and the offensive line. Step up for me, Brian Hoyer. You've been named the starting quarterback of this team. The competition is gone. I would like to see you lead this offense in a manner that produces points, and I think it's time for him to step up. And because not only does he need to get his confidence up, he needs to get his teammates' confidence up in him, in his ability to lead this team, and we need to show it. Show the fans, show everybody at First Energy Stadium, and show the defense as well, because the last thing I would like to see happen with this team is where there ultimately ends up being some type of a divide between the offense and the defense. And I think the offense just needs to be solid to alleviate that from happening. And as far as I'm concerned with the offense, the buck stops with the quarterback. So, Brian Hoyer, step up.
Number two.
Question number two, guys. Outside of quarterback, the one position on the field you will be watching tomorrow night the most.
Again, I've got to go to the wide receivers. Doesn't matter who you have playing quarterback unless his name's Tommy Terrific. If you don't have wide receivers, you really don't have a passing game.
Do you say that because he's a Michigan man?
Yes.
I'm going to say wide receivers as well. I don't know how you can't pay the closest attention to that area, because that's the area that, as of right now, is the biggest concern for this football team. Captain Obvious on that one. I don't know anywhere else where you could look at this team. You could say, of course, quarterback, until you see something that's sustainable there after Brian Hoyer's shakiness. But wide receiver, to me, is a bigger concern and problem. And I need to see something different than I've seen the last couple of weeks.
All right, you guys both said wide receiver, and I would agree with that. But I'm going to just be different, give a little something else here on the Friday forecast. I'm going to be watching the offensive line, because if this line can protect Brian Hoyer and create running lanes against this defensive front with Robert Quinn, with Brockers, with, of course, Chris Long out there, then I will feel very good. I would argue that this is the best front four in the entire National Football League. And if this Browns team can run the football, if they can protect the quarterback against the Rams, I feel great about this line headed into week one.
Number three.
Question number three today, guys. What do you need to see from Hoyer and Manziel tomorrow night to ease any concerns you do have about the quarterback position?
Well, first of all, and it pains me to say this because I have been a Johnny apologist, but we need to forget about Johnny until at least after the bye week. Everybody has to get behind Brian Hoyer. And what we need to see from
him, there you go, the kid,
is
team
confidence.
Player.
We need to see the confidence that he's going to step into the huddle and he's going to make the right read and he's going to make the right throw and he's going to make that throw. He's got to show some confidence, show some leadership, get him into the end zone, and Johnny just needs to hit the film room.
Again, I said this earlier, and I'll say it again. Look like a starter, Brian, that you are. Look like the starter that you were named, and you were named the starter for a reason. Now, Mike Pettin said it was close, so you go to the person who had the most experience. That's not the ringing endorsement you want. You want to be heard or you want it to be said. You want to hear, if you're that guy, that you were lights out, you did all this great stuff. He didn't do that. But short of that, be the guy that we saw last year, the guy that instilled so much excitement and confidence in, I think, everybody who saw him just in that brief snapshot. And as far as Johnny Manziel goes, and I think he's going to get a lot of playing time, obviously, in the second half, I would think Hoyer starts into the third quarter. Johnny, go out there and look prepared. Make this the week that you really put your head into the playbook and really got yourself focused and hopefully showing all of us that the humbling experience you had in not being named a starter under these circumstances, when I think maybe you thought you had this thing locked up, show us that this really matters to you and that you said the right things. I thought he said all of the right things, most of the right things, with the exception of I wouldn't do anything differently. Take that out, and I thought he was saying the right things about maximizing his time on the field and learning and so on and so forth. But now go out and show it on the field.
From Brian Hoyer, I want to see success. I know we can make the right reads. I want to see him absolutely be accurate the way that he was accurate last year. Not miss those easy throws. Convert a third down, something he has not done in two preseason games. Lead the team to a touchdown, something he has not done in two preseason games. I'd like to see the wide receivers, by the way, help him out by catching the footballs that he throws in a catchable area. Make those plays for the quarterback. But for me, it's about Brian Hoyer. It's about long drives, converting on third downs, coming through, being accurate, being relaxed, showing poise, and leading this team to a competent offensive performance in the first half. That's what I need to see from him to feel better about this position. As far as Johnny Manziel, to me, it is all about development. I want to see Johnny Manziel, when I go and watch the tape, I want to see Johnny Manziel hitting the right receiver more often than he did against Washington. I want to see him scanning the field, not panicking in the pocket, reading pressure, diagnosing it, hitting the correct hot read, not missing the obvious plays that are on the field because of the way defenses are going to game plan for him. What Washington did was smart to keep him in the pocket, but when you dedicate those resources to the outside, there are openings down the seams in the middle of the field that he's got to see and he's got to take advantage of and make those plays. So I want to see that kind of progress from him, because if I see that, that'll tell me that he learned quickly and adapted from what he saw when going through the tape after the Monday night game, that he has taken his, you know, the fact that he lost his contest in stride and dedicated himself to continuing to get better, not sulking. So that's what I want to see from Johnny Manziel.
Question number four today, guys. A couple guys banged up right now. We've got some injuries on the squad. The injury on the team right now that is most concerning to you?
Buster Skrine. Based on the defensive style of play that we want to play, we need guys that can cover. And while some people may not love Buster Skrine, there's a precipitous drop-off after Buster Skrine to the next level of corners on the roster. You saw it a little bit the other night when our backups were trying to play the press coverage and got burnt a couple of times. I really think it's important that he's back on the field.
Yeah, Skrine would be the one for me as well. And the other point I would just make is it's even more vital for him to get back out there because of what we know now from seeing, we don't know everything about him, but from seeing Justin Gilbert perform as well as he did in his rookie debut Monday night and handling it over the long course of the game instills the confidence that he's the right guy to be on the outside, but you've got to have that guy on the inside. And that's what Buster Skrine is, and this thumb surgery that he underwent, hopefully everything comes back, and because hands are very important, not just to knock the ball down or make interceptions, but to get your hands legally on receivers. It all comes into play. So I'm hopeful, the optimism that he'll be out there for game one of the regular season, but until I guess I see it, we don't know.
And the other thing about Buster is you want him back so that he can start getting those reps inside. He was taking the majority of his reps prior to the injury outside. So you want him to get some feel inside where he's going to play most likely week one. But I'll go a different direction. And that's Nate Burleson, because we are dying for someone to step up amongst these wide receivers. Nate Burleson is one of only five receivers in the National Football League to have recorded a touchdown catch every year from 2003 to 2013. He's been doing it for a while. He's an old school vet, and he's a guy who before his arm was broken last year was averaging six catches and 79 yards a game. We need a receiver, and you haven't gotten an opportunity to see him at all in the preseason. So I want to see Nate. I want to see what he can do. I want to see him out there and see if he can be that kind of reliable, move the chains, good hands option opposite Miles Austin if there is no Josh Gordon for this team. So that's who I'm looking for.
Number five.
Final question today. Obviously, tomorrow, the big re-grand opening, I guess you could say, of First Energy Stadium with the third preseason game. Your favorite stadium food?
Well, I'm going to have to go with a hamburger for a little bit of an off-the-beaten reason. I've been known to send bozo rangers at golf courses looking for hamburgers and
cheeseburgers.
Cheeseburger, that is right. So I'm going to say cheeseburger in honor of my good friend and favorite Buckeye, Kevin Griffin.
Very nice. I'm going to say the most boring basic thing, and that is a hot dog. And I rarely eat hot dogs anywhere but at stadiums. It's just the way I'm wired and have been for a long time. But I'll throw this one quick thing out there. As someone who has covered the entire NFL for a lot of years and got a chance to be at every stadium in the league, Foxborough Stadium, the clam chowder in the press box is the best in the world. I think it's served somewhere in the restaurant, so it's not just something that the media gets, but it is a slice of New England that you can't top.
I'll tell you what it's not, and that's the food in the press box at FedEx Field. What dreck. Blah. Disgusting. They should be embarrassed in our nation's capital.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nathan Zagora just complained about a free meal in the press box.
He's called disgusting. Out the commissioner. He's called out Washington.
Absolutely disgusting. Terrible. Detroit was not bad. Detroit, I was fine with Detroit. They had a fine offering.
So you're,
absolutely.
You're,
right now, I have two rankings, and Detroit is by far number one, Washington by far number two.
You're grading the free food.
My favorite stadium food, just because it's free, was the did you pay for the food at my house? No, but it was delicious. It was a good meal. You could, and if it wasn't good, you could have complained about it. I don't care. The cost has nothing to do with anything. It's good. It's good.
It was phenomenal.
Dog food, like in Caddyshack. Yeah. That's what it was. My favorite stadium food is beer, because that's what I want. I want beer when I'm at a stadium. Food, that's secondary. If I have enough beer, even the food at FedEx Field would taste good. So that's where
well,
I'm
normally,
going.
You're not a day-to-day beer drinker. Just at stadiums,
actually, I've pretty
right?
much sworn off of beer. But I'm not into stadium food in general, to be perfectly honest.
I haven't seen him drink a beer in 5 years.
That's all right, so my favorite stadium food is vodka or tequila, and if you can get it there, then I'm in great shape. I feel very good about that. That's what I'm looking for. Yes.
All right,
and by the way, the fact that we're ending this show on Friday, it's almost 3 o'clock. They've just announced a suspension in the NFL, not for Josh Gordon, obviously, right. for Dwight Stevenson of the Kansas City Chiefs. Get off your butts and do something. This is completely unfair. How do you even handle this as a head coach, let alone a first-year head coach? What are you supposed to do with Josh Gordon on Saturday? Make a ruling, NFL. You are disgusting me right now. Worse than the food at FedEx Field. That's how little I think of
you. We got to thank Solomon Wilcots for being part of the show. You will see him on the broadcast tomorrow night with Jim Donovan, KYC's coverage of the game. Want to also thank Kevin Griffin, Vice President of Fan Experience Marketing for the Browns, for stopping by. Warren Moon, the Hall of Fame quarterback, for calling in. And, of course, the kid being in studio with us as he let's make this a regular Friday thing here.
The kid, why don't you do it? Come on, the kid.
I can do it.
He can do it.
Yeah, because you can.
I'll talk to the boss.
Talk to the boss. Yeah. You are the boss.
You are the boss.
That's
the kid.
What I'm saying. I'll
exactly.
Talk to
all right, make that happen. Jason Gibbs.
Self-meeting.
Jason Gibbs, our tremendous producer.
The best.
And Gerard is coming up next. We're going to see you tomorrow night, we hope, at First Energy Stadium. 8 p.m. kickoff, Browns and Rams. And again, we'll be back with Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, on Monday.
Don't forget, Building the Browns at 7 on KYC, pregame 7:30, the game on KYC at 8. I look forward to seeing everybody out there tomorrow at First Energy Stadium. Free Josh Gordon, or at least do something, NFL.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.